Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that Avraham Avinu was tested by the Ribbono Shel Olam 10 times. That Avraham Avinu was given 10 nisyonos by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The first nisyon was the nisyon of Lech Lecha. That was the initial nisyon, that was the first nisyon. The final nisyon was the nisyon of the Akedah. And the Medrash Tanchuma on this week's Parsha equates the two. The Medrash Tanchuma on this week's Parsha says that Reblevi Oimer Nisayin Harishan, the first Nisayin of Lechacha Me'atzacha, Kenisayin Ha'achrein, was like the last Nisayin. Nisayin Harishan Belechacha Me'atzacha, V'Nisayin Achrein Lechacha Al-Eretz Samaria, and Bimakriv Yitzchok. And Lichura, the Medrash Tanchum is a Medrash Pella, because it's inconvenient. It can be traumatic for an individual to pick himself up from home, city, society, environment, culture, and move to a completely different city, environment, and culture. It can be a traumatic experience. Just imagine if you're working somewhere and you spent your days in Manhattan, and all of a sudden one day they said, that's from tomorrow morning, you're going to be working in a village somewhere in India. Right? The change in the cultural surroundings, the change in the environment, it's a traumatic experience. But you can't compare that to the concept of taking one's child and offering him up as a sacrifice. Yeah, it's difficult for somebody at a moment's notice to move from one place to the other place, but it's not as difficult as it is when you're told that you have to kill your child. So how can Chazal come and say that one can equate the first Nisayon with the last Nisayon? Unless what Chazal are trying to say is that there's a common theme between the two. True, the actual Nisayon in itself per se, if one looks at the acts that had to be done, one was much less than the other. But if one looks at the theme that lay behind it, then maybe one can say that they're equal. The Rambam, in the first perek of Avodah Zarah, does something very unusual. And he goes through basically the history of the world. And he starts off talking about the generation of Enosh, and the fact that the generation of Enosh deteriorated from a concept of belief in God, that one needs a medium, one needs a vehicle to connect with God, and there are certain things in the Bria, in the creation, which are the vehicle through which one can connect with God, to outright Avodah Zarah. And the whole world, says the Rambam, became a world which was a world of idol worshippers. Ad shenoilad amudei shel olam, until an individual was born who was amudei shel olam, he was the foundation of the world, he was the pillar of the world, he was the individual that kept the world going. Vehu Avraham Avinu, and he was Avraham Avinu. And the Rambam continues, and the Rambam describes how Avraham Avinu came to a belief in monotheism. How Avraham Avinu moved from being an idol worshipper to being a believer in God, and in one God. And then the Rambam continues, and the Rambam says the following: Hischil lahoshiv tshuvas al bnei ur kazdin. He started giving answers to the idol worshippers of the location where he was living. Ula'arech din imoim. He started a dialogue with them. He started a debate with them. He used to argue with them. on Hashkafe is used. V'loima, and he kept on telling them, She'ein zu derecha emes she'atem holchim bo, that you're going on a false path, it's not the truth, the way you're acting, the way you're behaving. And the Rambam continues and elaborates on this, and then the Rambam says, V'hischi likrei b'ko god l'chol ha'ilam l'hidiyam she'eish shem alayakachad l'chol ha'ilam. And then he started announcing and shouting and screaming and informing people that there is only one God in the world. V'loi royu la'avoid, and that's the God that we have to serve. V'hayo mahalach, and he used to go and gather together people in every city, and in every town, in every state, says the Rambam. What was the result? Says the Rambam, Avraham Avinu was the biggest Rebbe in the world. Until he had around him, and until he had all around him, who? Until he had around him thousands, alofim, thousands, uravovis, and hundreds of thousands, v'heim anshei beis Avram, and they became part and parcel of his following. They became his chassidim. They became his followers. V'shosal belibom ha'iker ha'godel hazeh, and he managed to instill in them his ideology. And therefore the Rambam maintains that when the Torah says that the Ribbono Shel'Olam says, I'm changing your name from Avram to Avraham, and you will be called Avraham. Why will you be called Avraham? Because you are Av Hamoin Goyim, you are the father of a multitude of nations. Says the Rambam, take it literally. That's what Avraham Avinu was. Avraham Avinu was the manhig. Avraham Avinu was the leader of thousands, or hundreds of thousands, or tens of thousands. According to the Rambam, it seems to be tens or hundreds of thousands of people who blindly followed him, who blindly believed that what he had to say was the emes, and he swore by him. And all these people, lichura, came with him. All these people moved to Eretz Canaan, which was the center of Avraham Avinu's melucha, where he was running the show. And then all of a sudden, the Ribbono Shel'Olam says to him, that's it. Pick yourself up and leave. Go. So the Avraham Avinu, well, what about all these hundreds of thousands of people? Not your problem. Pick yourself up and go. You have a tafkid, you have a purpose, you have a function. Go to Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine the impact that that had on the people at the time? Can you imagine what they thought to themselves? This guy is a phony baloney. Here's a guy who for years has been telling us, I have the truth, I know the truth, if you come with me, I will teach you the truth, if you stay with me, I will show you the right and the true path to follow. And they all come. And then all of a sudden, one day, he gets up and he disappears. This guy is the biggest hypocrite that ever existed. This guy has no consistency. And therefore, Lamafreya, Huvra Adova Lamafreya, obviously the guy from the very beginning was a total and complete and utter phony. Say Chazal. That is the most difficult thing for a person to do. When a person lives in an environment, when he lives in a society, when he lives in a surrounding, and within this society and within this surrounding that he lives, he has a behavioral pattern. and he has a certain code of behavior, and he behaves in a certain way, and he leads his life in a certain way. And in the society that he's in, because of the way that he's acting and because of the way that he's behaving, he is accepted. He's a knacker. He's an important figure. He plays a role. He's in fact even looked up to amongst his social circle. To pick yourself up and to do something which is going to destroy that, which is going to absolutely destroy your whole maimed that you have, and which is going to result in people saying you are a phony, is one of the most difficult things for an individual to do. When Avraham Avinu is told by the Ribbono Shel'olam, Lech lecha me'artecha me'miladetecha mi'beis avicha, that's the ultimate nisoyon. To pick yourself up and say, I'm not what I was yesterday, I'm something else, in the eyes of people. When Avraham Avinu is told by the Ribbono Shel'olam, Lech lecha me'artecha, and Eretz Me'iria, and offer up Yitzchak as a korban, the man who for years and years and years was running around the world, telling the world that the ultimate in chet, the ultimate in immoral, unethical behavior is child sacrifice, turns around one day to the same people that he's been darshaning to for tens of years and says to them, goodbye. And they say, Rebbe, where are you going? What's going to happen to the next shir about not sacrificing children to idol worship? Sorry, got no time. Take a rain check. Where are you going? I'm actually going to kill my son. What for? I'm offering up as a sacrifice. My God told me I have to. Say Chazal, Hushvu, it's exactly the same thing. It's the equal thing. The Nisayim wasn't the act of killing his son. The Nisayim wasn't the act of picking yourself up and leaving and going to another place. The Nisayim was the fact that in the eyes of the people who you see as being your society and you feel are important, you're going to lose your respect because you're changing. You're doing the opposite of what you did before. You're a hypocrite. For years you've been doing one thing, and all of a sudden, who are you? Eich migavaron tzadik. We find that in the continuation of the parsha, the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu was wandering around with his nephew Lot, and Lot, who was together with Avram, says the Pasuk, had a lot of sheep, cattle, tensed. And they couldn't live together, he and Avram Avinu. And there was a fight between the the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. And Avram Avinu turned round to Lot and he said to Lot, it's not worthwhile having this machlokes between us. Why should we fight around? After all, we are relatives. What's the point in it? You choose a place where you go to, I'll choose a place where I'll go to, we'll part ways, and you'll do your thing and I'll do my thing. Says Rashi b'shem Chazal, what were they fighting about? Says Rashi b'shem Chazal, they were fighting about the fact that late shepherds were allowing the cattle and the sheep to graze in fields which weren't theirs, and it was gzeila. And Rei Avram were annoyed and upset about this, and they came to Avram Avinu and they said, Lot is allowing his shepherds to be gozel, to steal. So Avram Avinu says, okay, there's only one choice. Goodbye. If there's an example in the Torah of the ultimate individual who had infinite patience for people who didn't think like he did, it was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was willing to take in and to feed and to host in his house what he initially thought were four Bedouin, or three Bedouin, who were idol worshippers, Chazal say that they he told them to wash their feet because they worshipped dust on their feet. They must have been great intellectuals, but that's what they were. They were idol worshippers. And Avraham Avinu takes them in and he gives them the best food. He says, stay by me as long as you want. And Avraham Avinu runs around the world trying to be Makar of people, trying to bring them closer to doing the right thing. There's only one guy who's not interested in being Makarov. The minute he hears something negative about him, what does he say? Okay, you go your way, I go my way, goodbye. That's his nephew. What happened here? What happened here? Why all of a sudden, here did he suddenly become the big Kanoi and say, no way, I can't live together with you. You and me, we can't live together. We have to separate. And it also completely contradicted the natural relationship that existed between Avraham and Lot as his nephew. When Lot's captured in the world war that was going on at that time between the four kings and the five kings, etc., 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 the minute he hears that Lot's captured, whoop, off he goes. Got to rescue him, he's my nephew. Mysterious nefesh, he may get killed in the war. He doesn't know that he's going to be successful and these things are going to happen. He doesn't think twice over Avraham Avinu, off he goes. And here he turns around to Lot and he says, goodbye. You go your way, I'll go my way. Hopefully we'll never meet again. What happened here? I think the Hesber is a story which we find in another place in Nach. A famous story. It's actually the Haftarah of Parshas Zohar. It's the story of Shaul HaMelech and Shmuel the Novi. Shaul HaMelech was the Talmid Muvak of Shmuel. He was the ultimate Talmid of Shmuel. And Shmuel HaNovi comes to Shaul HaMelech and he says to Shaul HaMelech, I have a nevuah and I have a tzivuah and I got a command from the Ribbono Shel Olam to tell you, go kill the Amalekim, kill Agog, kill the men, kill the women, kill the children, kill the animals, kill everybody. Annihilate them completely. There should be no Zeicher of Amalek. And out goes Shaul HaMelech to war against the Amalekim. Against the direct command of Shmuel HaNovi, B'Shem Hashem, Shaul HaMelech does not kill Agog and doesn't destroy the Tzayin Uboka. And Rabbi Shalom tells this to Shmuel and says to Shmuel, go back to Shaul. And Shmuel HaNovi goes back to Shaul, and it says in the Psukim there, that when he gets near, he hears the whole tumult going on. What's the tumult? They're offering up these animals that they took from Amalek, sacrifices. There's a whole chinga going on there. Everybody having a whale of a time. They're celebrating the success in the war. And Shaul HaMelech sees Shmuel. And when Shaul HaMelech sees Shmuel, what does he say to Shmuel? He says, "Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel Hashem, Shemati b'Kol Hashem." I'm a great guy. Shemati b'Kol Hashem. I listen to what the Ribbono Shel Olam told me to do. Va'elam b'derech Hashem Shlachani Hashem, and I went on the route that the Ribbono Shel Olam told me to take. Va'ovies Agog Melech Amalek v'Samalek Echramti. I killed all the Amalekim, but I saved Agog, and I brought back the animals, and we're offering them up as a korban. And Shmuel turns around to Shaul. And he says to Shaul, what are you talking about? You're offering up korbanos. The Rebbe doesn't want these korbanos. He wanted these animals killed. He doesn't want them as korbanos. You want to do something for God? Says Shmuel, Hachefetz Hashem be'Eiris Zvachim. Rebbeinu Shalom wants Eiris Zvachim. Kishmoya b'Kol Hashem. He wants you to listen to what he said. Hinei Shmoya Mizevach Toiv. It's better to listen to God than to offer up korbanos. La'akshiv mechayle velim. God wants you to listen, not to offer him up korbanos. Vayayim ha'shol al Shmuel. Shmuel says to Shmuel, Chatosi kivat yespi Hashem b'tvarecho. He says, I sin. I went against the gates of the Rebbeinu Shalom. But you've got to understand me. You've got to know where I'm coming from. Says Shaul. Ki yoreisi esom. Because I was scared. Public opinion. Vayeshma b'koilam. And they pressurized me. Therefore I did it. Vayeme Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel turns around to Shaul and he says, Lo oshuv imoch. Ki mo'asto es dvar Hashem. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You're Mois. Because you were made Mois, the Dvar Hashem. V'la Yosaf Shmuel Lireis Shaul Ad Yoim Moisai. And he never saw him again, he never looked him in the face again until the day that he died. He's Talmid Muvuk! He is! What's going on here? Seder, you had a Talmid Muvuk. The guy messed up. Seder. And he tells him he messed up. And he says, yeah, I messed up. And you can understand where I'm coming from, Rebbe. You know, I'm doing great. So I messed up once, but you got to understand. It's pressure, people. Why? He'll do tshuva and finish. It's all over. Let's go weiter. What does Rebbe Lapid always say? Don't think about the past. Think about the future. Past is finished. Says the Sefer Ikrim that when a person wants to do tshuva, there will be two things always which will prevent him from doing a real tshuva. It is impossible for a person to do a real tshuva if one of these two things are at play. The first one he says is poshut. If the guy doesn't even know that he's doing something wrong. If the guy doesn't know that he's doing something wrong, he can't do tshuva. That's poshut, says the Sefer Ikrim. But then the Sefer Ikrim says a second yesod, he says a meridiki yesod. The guy who, when he's told you do something wrong, says, no. I didn't do something wrong. I was right. And he explains what the justification is for doing what he did. Says the Sefer Ikrim, he will never do tshuva properly. Because he will spend his entire life justifying himself. The fact that Shaul did an Aveira, that didn't bother Shmuel. People do Aveiras. No problem. You do tshuva and it's fine. But the minute you come and you tell me, but you've got to understand where I'm coming from, and therefore it really wasn't terrible what I did if you understand where I am coming from. Where you are coming from doesn't change till the day you die. You always came from the same place. That never changes, where I'm coming from. Because where I'm coming from means it was a starting point, and I'm coming from the starting point. Of course you're coming from the starting point. You're coming from the starting point, which is a maternity ward in the hospital, and you're going to the end point, which is the cemetery. We all are. When you start being matzdik, says the Sefer Ikrim, you don't stand a chance. Avraham Avinu wasn't scared about the fact that Lot's shepherds were stealing. You stole? Say that. Do tshuva. But Chazal say that when the Roye Avraham came to the Roye Lot and said to the Roye Lot, you're stealing, They said, we're not stealing. So they said, why not? They said, because God promised this land to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu has no children, therefore Lot is going to inherit him. Therefore it's ours. Says the pasuk, but it's a lie. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Vaknani oz baaretz." At that point in time, it wasn't yet given to Avraham. It will be in the future. It wasn't yet given. But they're justifying themselves. If you justify yourself, says Avraham Avinu, there's no chance. If you were to turn around and said, "Yes, we stole because we had a yetzer and that's it," then there was a chance. But if you walk around the whole time justifying the fact that you learn 20 minutes a day, if you walk around the whole time justifying the fact that you can do what you like because A, B, C, and D, you don't stand a chance. There's no hope. But surely that's human nature. Human nature is that we tend to justify ourselves. The pasuk says further on in the parsha that the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Avraham Avinu, God takes Avraham Avinu outside. That's what the pasuk says. God takes Avraham Avinu outside. And he says, "Habetna Hashemaima. Look at the Shemaim. Uspera kechovim, and count the stars. Into chalisparisom, if you can count them." And he said to him, "Your kids will be like this." And he trusted in the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Blina Rav, it's your tithe. It was, I think, one of these days. The Meir Shapira says a Merdek Avot here. He says, when the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Avraham Avinu, "Look at the Shemayim, count the stars, if you can count them," it's as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying to Avraham Avinu, "Yeah, we know already beforehand that it's impossible to count the stars, there's too many. And I know beforehand that you're not going to be able to do it, but at least try." That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam said to him. And Avraham Avinu does it, as the pasuk says. Avraham Avinu believed the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avraham Avinu doesn't try to get out of what he's being told to do, because it's quote-unquote impossible. It can't be done. Because he wants to do the right thing. And therefore he tries. If it works out that he can't do it, then he won't. But he'll try. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Ko yihye zaracho." So should your children be. Never attempt to determine whether it's worth it to have the rotzen, because I don't know whether I have the ability, but always work the other way around. One should always say to oneself, "I have the ability because I have the rotzen." I want to finish up with two very fascinating things that I saw. Rabbi Zalman Melzer, Evan Ozel, used to say over the following story. He said a Jew once came into him who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and he was blind. And he brought to Rabbi Zalman two Svarim that he had authored. And he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and he was looking, they were looking through, and it was his Sefer, and they were looking through the Sefer. And he said to Rabbi Zalman, this is the last Chiddush Torah of my life, printed in the Sefer. So Rabbi Zalman said to him, what do you mean? So he said, let me tell you the following story. He said, I spent my life being Yogeya in Torah and being Mechadish Chidushim. And when I got to an old age, it became very difficult for me. And when I finished writing this Chiddush, I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to learn B'Yagia anymore. I'm not going to learn B'Iyun anymore. I'm an old man. I'm going to now start learning superficially. I'll continue learning, but I'll learn superficially. I'll learn without Yagia. He said, a couple of months later, I realized that I couldn't see and I was going blind. And I went to the doctor. The doctor examined me and the doctor said to me, I don't understand how you've been learning the last 20 years. Medically, you've been blind about 20 years already. Why you came now, I don't understand. So the Talmud Chacham said to Rabbi Zalman, he didn't understand, but I understood. Medically, I was blind. If you want to be a Geya in Torah, if you have the Ratzon, then you have the Yechidus, even if you're blind. The minute I'd stopped wanting, nature clicked in. There was a non-Jewish doctor in the 19th century who wrote his biography, it's in German. He wrote his biography, a goy. And he writes in his biography that one of my patients was a very famous Jewish rabbi by the name of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And he writes in this book the following, I examined this man in his old age a number of times. Medically, his physical situation was that he should have been dead. I have no way of medically explaining why he's alive. Esoterically, this is what the guy writes. He says, esoterically, perhaps one could say that this Jew gains nourishment from his spiritual activity in the same way as other people gain nourishment from physical eating. That's what the guy writes. About four lines in his biography. The answer is Pashat. Rabbi Akiva Eiger could have been physically dead, but if he had a rotzen to learn, the rotzen overpowers the teva. That's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world that Rotzen can overcome Teva. It's true. The Teva of a person is he wants to justify himself the whole time. The Teva of a person is he doesn't want to change. The Teva of a person is that in his subconscious, whatever he may say externally, there's that stature that he has, there's that standing he has in the eyes of different people that he doesn't want to change. He doesn't want that imaginary voice saying to him, oh, look what became of him. Eich me gevor an a tzaddik. We knew him. Everybody's got that inside them. And that's the reason why we don't change. Because we don't want to hear that voice. And we want to continue justifying ourselves. And it's human nature. But we have to know one thing. We have to know that when God created the world, He created the world in such a way that you can overcome nature. With what? With rotzen. With willpower. You can be a geya in Torah if you're blind and see. You can be a geya in Torah if you're physically, medically dead.
Ad Me'ev Esrim, we see this today. We have Gedolei Yisrael who were of an age when most people are not functioning in the Yogean Torah. And you can physically overcome the psychological barrier that there is in changing as long as you have one thing, the willpower. And with willpower, a person can do anything. Thank you.